from Africa and Asia that come forth, because it's in those areas where the Bible was written, and they understand it, and they can explain it, and they can give us clarification because of their culture and where they're at. So we're blessed this morning to have our dear brother Joseph Mumba, and we're glad to have James Baywe and the family here also with us today. Brother Joseph, come and share with us today. Give me a hug. Hallelujah. How about?
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. It's a blessing and also a very humbling experience for me, especially to be in prison. When I got there, it was like, wow, you call this prison? Because to tell you the truth, if the prison that I saw was in Zambia, or maybe some other parts of Africa, it will be full. You know what I mean? Because the condition of your prison cells are good. It's not as back home. Nevertheless, a prison is a prison. It takes away your freedom. Hallelujah. We started off around 6:30 or so. Yeah. Praise God. Let's just pray. Loving Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, we come in your presence with our hearts open to hear what you want to say to us. It's my prayer that God, you anoint our ears to hear your word. I pray that God, you anoint my lips that I may speak your word and not my mind. I just want to yield myself to the Spirit of God, that you will use me in your own way. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your special anointing. Thank you for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'm going to talk about boldness to enter God's presence. Boldness to enter God's presence. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. We will read beginning from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible here tells us that having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, You cannot enter into the presence of God without the blood. The blood of Jesus opened the way for us to enter into the holiest, the holy presence of God in a new way. Through Him who consecrated us through the veil, His body. And so as He consecrated us through His body, let us draw near with a true heart. With a true heart. A true heart. I just want to just do a little bit of definition of the word boldness. Boldness is simply to dare to do something or something difficult. It also means to be confident or to be courageous. Now, why employ confidence, courage to enter God's presence? Why do you have to have confidence, courage, boldness to enter the presence of God? I'll give you two reasons. And I'm going to take you back into the Old Testament and show you the reason why the man of God, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, some scholars say it's Paul, why he was telling us to enter into the presence of God with boldness. First reason, God is holy. And only the holy and pure will see God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God is holy, and only the holy and the pure will see God. Without holiness, you cannot see God. God is a holy God. When you enter into His presence, you surely should have boldness. Because God does not mix Himself with sin. Hallelujah. God does not mix Himself with sin. If there is anything God hates, it's sin. Because sin is what brought man out of His presence. And He hurts it because He created man to dwell in the presence of God. His precious creation, His precious creature, man, created in His own image, after His own likeness, removed from His presence because of sin. God hates it. And so without holiness, you cannot see God. Hallelujah. Now I know that this is not our own holiness, but it's the holiness of God allowed to exist in us, doing something about our lives, coming closer to God on a daily basis, to allow the power of God, to allow the light of God shine in our lives. Holiness is progressive. When you got saved, God positionally made you holy. When He looks at you, He sees you holy, because He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. But it has to continue as we grow in the things of God. How do you continue growing in the things of God, in holiness? I'll give an illustration of the light. God is light. And when you are approaching the light, the closer you get to the light, the brighter it shines. So when you are seeking the face of God, at some point, you reach at a place where you come closer to God. And the brightness of the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the light of God shines on us. And then you begin to see flaws in your life. When you see flaws in your life, you confess, you repent, and you don't see them again because they are washed in the blood of Jesus. At some point, you begin to feel holy. But no, you are not holy as per God's standard yet. When you continue praying and seeking the face of God and yearning for more of God, you draw closer to the light beyond where you weren't, you reached. It'll shine brighter to you and expose certain flaws in your life that you never knew existed. And you begin to say, God, I am undone. Forgive me. I never knew this dirt was in me. You confess it before Him. He cleanses you. He forgives you. You look at yourself, you are clean. But when you enter more into His presence, they'll keep appearing to you. As you continue doing that progressively, you are getting holier and holier and holier. And that's what God wants. Hallelujah. And that's what we as children of God should be doing on a daily basis. God is holy. And only the holy and the pure will see God. Secondly, it was scary in the Old Testament to come in the presence of God. When you read the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 18, the Bible says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. The mountain trembled when God touched the mountain. There was smoke. It was like a burning furnace. And the children of Israel, whenever they saw that and realized that God came down and touched the mount of Sinai, they would shiver and fear just to look at the presence of God. They would look down because they don't want to see God. Hallelujah. When you go to chapter 24 of Exodus, beginning from verse 12 to 17, the Bible says in verse 12, And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount. Now, you can imagine, the mountain is trembling and is on fire. And God calls you, come up to me. You've got to be courageous to stand up and go into the presence of this holy, great, mighty God who shakes the whole mountain just by stepping there. And he calls you to come. You've got to have courage to enter into such a presence. And guess what God says? He says, come up to me into the mount and be there. You know what that means? It means God wants his people in his presence. He tells him, come up and be there. Where? Right in his presence. God wants you and me in his presence. Every day of our lives, he wants us to be there in the presence of God. Because that's where God created us to be. In his presence, in his light. And I give you, and I will give you the 3 tablets of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua. I love Joshua. That's why I have a son, Joshua. Because he never left Moses. He always followed Moses. That's why I love Joshua. Courageous young man. God did not call Joshua. God called Moses. But Joshua stood up and went with Moses. I want to challenge some of you here. You've got a Joshua here. I mean a Moses. You've got a Moses. Dr. Joe is your Moses. Make yourselves Joshuas. Don't leave him go alone into the presence of God. Go with him. Because there is a blessing in that. And Moses went up into the mountain, Mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for me until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matter to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of God, of the Lord, abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the 7th day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now God caused Moses to go into his presence and be there in the presence of God. One would think that immediately Moses reaches the mountain and he's up there on the mount, God will begin to give him what he promised. But no. Moses remained in the presence of God 6 days. Sometimes, when we are seeking God's face, and we are in need of something, in need of a breakthrough. There is a need that we want God to attend to urgently, and He doesn't attend to it urgently, we get discouraged. But Moses was called by God Himself, "Come up to me, I have something to give you." And he goes and he's there. Then one will begin to wonder, did I hear correctly? Did he call me to come here? Where is he? Most of us, we are impatient. We don't want to wait. We'll wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It's over. I think I have to go. Because you have some things you have to fix. You go before the presence of God comes. Before the answer comes. You go and leave the coaches behind. Moses waited in the presence of God 6 days. The 7th day, God spoke. God came. God began to minister to him. Beloveds, let's spend time in the presence of God, even when we feel nothing. You don't have to feel goosebumps for you to know you are in the presence of God. You just have to know you are in the presence of God and be there. Just wait. He will speak. If you wait hard enough, He will speak. If you are quiet and listening enough, He will speak. Let's not play in the presence of God. Let's pray in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Why employ boldness to enter into the presence of God? I told you I would take you back into the Old Testament. Entering into God's presence in the Old Testament, after they built the temple, or even the tent of meeting, just entering there was another thing. Three things in the tabernacle. Let's look at the tabernacle quickly. I know I don't have enough time to go through everything I have here, but I'll try to compress. The composition of the Old Testament tabernacle had three main divisions. The first one was the outer court. The outer court typifies the outside world. Then there was the holy place. The holy place typifies the church on earth. And then the holy of holies. This is a type of the redeemed church in heaven. And it's here, in this holy of holies, where the presence of God, in the tabernacle, in the church, in the temple, dwelt. He dwelt in the holy of holies. It was good to be in the outer court, good to be in the inner court, but it's great to be in the innermost court. Many of us, in our daily worship of God, even when we go to church, we end up in the outer court. We never reach even the inner court. We end up in the courts, in the outer court. When we get into the holy of holies, I tell you, in the innermost, right in the presence of God, deep into His presence, you feel inadequate there. You don't feel you are worthy to be there. You don't jump there. You can't lift up your hands there. You fall flat on the on your face. Flat on your face. Because you feel you don't deserve to be in the presence of God. You feel you are dirt. And you ask yourself, God, me? Why? And it's also sweet to be there. It's a presence where you don't want to move to go out. You just want to be there. Talking from a personal experience, there was a time I went into the presence of God. I was praying and fasting for 30 days. No food. No water. Don't you do that unless God calls you. I was in the presence of God. One day, I really felt I was right in the presence of God. One of those days, I felt a pat on my back. Like someone saying, it's okay. Because I was there weeping, and asking myself, why, God? Me? Why have you allowed me to reach this far? I felt a pat on my back. Not on my physical back, but on the back of my soul. Inside. That's where you feel you don't deserve the goodness of God, the grace of God. You don't deserve to be in the presence of God. You are filth. In this place is where God wants us to be. Under His feet. Kissing the feet of Jesus. In worship. Pure worship. I'm not holy than everybody. It was a good experience I had. I have weaknesses. Some of you might say, hey, he is a holy man of God. No. In this Holy of Holies, only the high priest was allowed to enter in that place. And not every day, but once every year. And not without blood. Hallelujah. And not without blood. He always entered to make atonement for the children of Israel with the blood of the Lamb. Once a year. Hallelujah. And to enter into this presence, this Holy of Holies in the temple, in the it was like sentencing yourself to death. Because anytime you do something wrong there, you are gone. Two of the sons of the high priest Aaron died right in the presence of God. Because they did a wrong thing in the presence of God. Like I said, God does not tolerate sin. Amen. You're too quiet now. Am I threatening you? Hallelujah. I'm just trying to show us the importance of drawing closer to God with a pure heart. And that God wants us to get closer to Him than we are. Hallelujah. When the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, he had these bells on around him and a rope attached to him. Because if anything happens there, no one can go there to retrieve his body. They have to drag him out. And no one is allowed even to mourn him. That's how serious. Can I speak to us men of God just for a minute? Ministry is a serious business. Ministry is a serious business. We need to check ourselves out every day. Because many of us, if we were to enter in this place, will come out dead. Because there is a lot of misbehaving even among us as men of God. We'll come out dead if it was then. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the grace of God, for His grace. Many of us would not survive in ministry if it was like in the Old Testament. There is no fear of God in us anymore because we have stopped looking at God and see Him as He is, because we only know God from the grace perspective. In the Old Testament and even in the Bible days, they knew God as a consuming fire. People died in the church for just telling a lie. Ananias and Sapphira. They died in the house of God. But today we do all sorts of things in the church. There is no fear of God anymore. We have tamed God to be like our grandpa. We can joke with Him. We can play with Him and nothing happens. Taking for granted the grace of God. It shouldn't be so. Let's take God seriously and let's honor Him and reverence Him how He ought to be. Hallelujah. Time is kicking. Let me try to catch up. What happened in the temple one day when Jesus Christ died? Now I'm about to take us out of the Old Testament and bring us into the New Testament. What happened when Jesus Christ died on that day? In the Holy of Holies, in the temple, there were three curtains. There were some curtains that divided these three departments. One curtain, the veil to the Holy of Holies, was torn. Now, when you look at the veil, even the very name suggests that something is concealed behind it. The veil of the tabernacle not only hid the glory of God in the Holy of Holies, but also prevented the priest from entering the divine presence of God anyhow. So the veil separated the Holy of Holies and the holy place. So there was this veil that separated or that blocked people from entering. Now, behind that veil was the glory of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, right in the middle of the room. There was the mercy seat where the man of God, the holy, the high priest, every year once went and made the atonement for the children of Israel. When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," the veil, the Bible says, it was torn. So when the Lord died and the veil was torn, the veil that kept man from entering into the presence of God was torn, according to Matthew 27 verse 51, which says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent." This veil that prevented man from entering into the presence of God was torn in two. Jesus was now opening the door to everyone to be able to enter into the presence of God. The door was open. Through his death, we have the grace to go into the presence of God anywhere, at any time, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Anywhere, anytime. Because you are the temple of God now. And you can be in the presence of God. And you can worship God anywhere. This is now in the New Testament. Hallelujah. There is threefold witness to the rending of the veil. The first witness is that the veil was torn divinely. The veil was torn divinely. No man tore the veil. No priest tore the veil. The Bible in this verse says, it was rent twine from the top to the bottom. If it was man, he was going to do it the opposite way. He was going to tear it from down up. But God tore it from up down, to open the door for us, to open the way for us to be in the presence of God. Secondly, it was torn in the middle. It was torn in the center. Why was it torn in the center? And not on the sides? Because it was in the center where the mercy seat, where the presence of God was. This speaks of there is only way to God. There are no sideways to get into the kingdom of God. Not through Islam, not through Hinduism. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ alone. No any other way. I hear many people say, you know, we worship one and the same God. God is the same. All you need to do is get to the top. We can use many different ways to go to the top. A story of an elephant, big elephant, and you bring this, you know, blind man, and you say, can you feel how the elephant feels? And describe the elephant. And one touches the big foot, and the other one touches the ear, and the other one touches the trunk. And then you say, can you describe the elephant? One says, it feels like it's a snake. The other one says, it's a big blanket. The other one says, it's like a tree. And they say, well, that's part of the truth, but not complete truth. Because it's not only that, the elephant is big. It's not like a trunk, like a snake. It's not like a tree. There is only one way into the presence of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes or goes to the Father but through me. If you are trying, if there is someone here who is trying to go to the Lord through another way, you've got to think twice. Thirdly, it was completely torn from top to bottom. No thread was left in the way. No thread. Every difficulty in God saving mankind was completely removed. Was completely removed. There is no hindrance to get into the presence of God. No hindrance. And so today, you and me are free to enter into the presence of God boldly, without fear. That sends you away from God, but with the reverential fear that draws you closer to Him. We can enter boldly in the presence of God, knowing that He is not to consume us, but He is going to love us. He is going to touch us. He is going to change us. He is going to bless us. We enter in His presence with boldness. Hallelujah. Because that's where God wants us to be. Hallelujah. I am calling upon us to re-examine ourselves, individual re-examination, and find where you are at in your spiritual walk with God. And try to do something about it as you come in the presence of God. Try it by all means to make my message short, Dr. Joe. And I have done. Praise the living God. Hallelujah.
How rich. How powerful. Something to remember. I am sure that we will remember the elephant story. And that will stick with us.